First of all, happy Easter to all of you. Right around Easter time, every year, people begin to speculate. Speculation. The very last Time magazine, those of you who read the Time magazine, the very last one, the cover article was written by a former evangelical pastor, Rob Wells, and he speculates, what if there is no hell? Years back, the famous author whose book became a bestseller, Bart Ehrman, wrote a book entitled God's Problem. How the Bible fails to answer our most important question, why we suffer. And based on that premise, he takes off. Speculating the power and the presence of God. The book must have done very well because this March he published another book and it's named Forged. Writing in the name of God. Why the Bible's authors are not who we think they are. Bart Ehrman in this book claims that Christians intent on establishing what was right to believe, they did so by telling lies. So according to these people, we are present here this morning because we have bought into a lie. Really? Really? Can a lie sustain a way of life for 2,000 years? Last night at the vigil, there were 23 people here, and some of them couldn't have enough. I see they've come back this morning for more. And at the 9 o'clock mass, we had people sitting all over, and I met one of them at the back of the church. He said, I just can't have enough. After the vigil, it was a 3-hour mass because we had 23 people baptized and confirmed and all the rest of it. And you're telling me that they bought into a lie. Some of these people were in the confessional with me. And a lie cannot explain the personal transformation that these men and women have gone through. Some of these people, their hearts burned. There were tears in their eyes at the very mention of the name Jesus. A lie cannot explain that. And then they took their steps, they walked up this altar and they professed Jesus Christ as the Lord of their lives, as their Savior. My dear friends, a lie cannot account for that. As a matter of fact, a lie does not account for all of us coming here this morning to worship. I am beyond speculation because you gathering here this morning to worship is the greatest sign that God is alive and among us. This community is the witness that Jesus is risen from the dead. You and I are Easter today. This morning, I want to reflect on Easter from three different perspectives. Looking at Easter from three different angles, and by the way, none of these are connected. Just trying to offer different windows from which we can understand Easter. So here's the first way to look at Easter. If we really want to understand the significance of the resurrection of Christ, I think sometimes the best way to do is to reflect on its opposite. In other words, I'm saying, what if the tomb never opened again? Imagine that just for a moment. What if Good Friday was the last we heard about Jesus? What if Mary and the disciples sat for days and days and weeks at the tomb and finally left there in despair? What if Good Friday was the end of the career of an illustrious man by the name of Jesus? What if that was the end? If you really want to understand what that would mean, think of a time when you buried somebody you loved very much. Somebody died. Maybe it was your spouse. You were married to the spouse for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, maybe sometimes 60 years. Or think of somebody you accompanied through a terminal illness and finally they died. Think of a parent that may have lost a child. Think if you have ever felt the sadness and the pain of death. And now imagine that you could not look into their eyes and tell them, we will be together again. Imagine that when people died, you could not say to them, I will see you soon. What would that be like? Or think of a time when you were in serious sin and you failed miserably. Maybe it was an infidelity. Maybe it was a hurtful lie. Or a damning betrayal. Or an act of absolute selfishness. And now imagine that there were no second chances. Just imagine that. Or think of your child battling with failure. Or someone in your life who's battling depression and meaninglessness and darkness. And now imagine that you could not hold their hands in prayer and give them hope. Imagine that. If the tombstone was not removed, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, then all this would be true. There would be no life. You couldn't look into the eyes of somebody who was dying and say to them, I will see you again. We will be together. You could not look into somebody's eyes and say, it's okay if you've sinned and failed. Remember, our God is a God of second, third, fourth, fifth chances. Imagine holding somebody's hand whose life is crumbling and holding them up in prayer. My dear friends, thanks be to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. The tomb is empty. Jesus is risen. So those of us who bury the dead, we bury them with hope that one day we will be together again. Thanks be to Jesus Christ who's risen from the dead. We can offer second chances. We can offer hope. Thanks to be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The tomb is empty. It's one way to look at Easter. Another way to look at Easter. I think of Easter as the apex, the culmination, the highest point of human possibilities. Let me explain that for a minute. I believe that at Easter, the human and divine met at crossroads. There's human and there's divine. At Easter, these both meet. Paul, in today's reading from the letter to the Colossians, he says that we who believe in Christ are destined for the glory of the risen Christ. And that's who we are as human beings. You see, all the time, human beings are trying to better themselves. We are not who we were yesterday, because we are people who always like to be one place higher, one place better than who we were yesterday. I'll give you a simple example. You take a cell phone, you buy it, the latest one on the market, you come back home and you hardly get used to it, and you put your television screen on, and then the next best thing is out in the market. You've seen that ad where people are constantly hating themselves because we don't have the latest stuff. Why? Because human beings always strive to be better. But what is the highest possibility that we can ever reach? The next richest man on the face of the earth will be the one who comes out with a pill that says, if you eat this, you will live forever. The richest man. Because we're constantly striving for that. What I mean by Jesus and humanity meeting on the crossroads is that Jesus gave up what we hope for, became part of our brokenness, of our unworthiness, and God gave up what we hope for so that we can get what God gave up. God gave up his glory. God gave up his power, came to us to lift us up to the greatest place that human beings can ever hope for, eternity. And that is made possible because the tomb was empty. You and I can become who we hope for, immortal, eternal beings. Thanks be to Jesus Christ and the empty tomb. God embraced our nothingness. God gave up what human beings strive for so that we may have what God gave up. Glory, wisdom, and eternity. A third way to look at Easter. A third window. I call Easter the triumph of love, victory of love. In the latest Christian magazine, America, it's a magazine published by the Jesuits, one of our own parishioners, who's also a professor at UD, Vince Miller, in fact, he was here yesterday being a godparent for one of the children who was baptized. He writes a fabulous article about the resurrection and Easter. This is what he says. Just another perspective into Easter. He said, the Holy Week, all of the Holy Week, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter, he says, is about God's refusal to let the world remain unsaved. Think about it for a minute. The mysteries of Holy Week are God's way of refusing the world to remain unsaved. The world could have remained unsaved, but on the cross, Jesus held on to us because he held on to us in love. That is the triumph of love, and not just love. Everything we hope for, fidelity, forgiveness, goodness, and life. This is the triumph. Easter is a triumph. That cross and the empty tomb is the triumph of the love of God. So, my dear friends, this morning, nobody has to leave from this church disappointed, in despair, and in darkness, because God never gives up on us. Because God, no matter what happens, even at the cost of death, holds on to us in fidelity and love. Each one of us is loved by Christ beyond death. Forgiven by Christ beyond anybody's imagination, and become one with Christ in the way that God Himself wanted us to. That is the Easter story. That is the empty tomb. That is the power of the resurrection. I began this Mass by saying that just like on the Easter morning, we are present here. And folks, this is true. I hope you truly believe it is true. When Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, he spoke to them, he shared a meal with them, and he lived his life among them. Isn't that what's happening here this morning? Christ has just spoken his word to us. Here, right now, we will share a meal with Christ, which is Christ Himself. And this community bears witness that Christ is among us. Every Eucharist is a resurrection experience, and particularly today. Jesus is risen. Jesus is among us. What does He say to us? Go. Like He told the disciples, go to the whole world. Tell them that I will meet them there. Tell them that I am alive. I will be in their lives. And so, beyond speculation, beyond any doubt, the world outside must see in you and me the power of the risen Christ. You and I must become witnesses so that people who speculate will know that what they speculate is false. That is the lie. The truth is, people like you and I are witnesses to the risen Christ. I pray for all of us. May Easter be lived out in us. May we be truly the empty tomb. May we be the news, the good news of the resurrection. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Say that one more time.
Alleluia.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.